Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Today we've been exploring addiction counseling and treatment, and for the remainder of the hour, we'll be focusing on perhaps the most vulnerable victims of the opioid crisis. Those are babies that are born addicted. Known as neonatal abstinence syndrome, babies born to mothers who've taken opioids during pregnancy themselves must endure the painful symptoms of withdrawing during their first days of life. Risks and symptoms include premature birth, tremors, irritability, and almost constant inconsolable crying, hyperactive reflexes, poor feeding, dehydration, and even seizures, to name just a few of the symptoms. According to Golisano Medical Director and neonatologist Dr. William Liu, the number of babies being admitted to Lee Health facilities with neonatal abstinence syndrome has increased a staggering 1,200% since 2005. Usually the round-the-clock care these newborns require is provided in a hospital's neonatal intensive care unit, and that can get expensive very quickly, and often those bills go unpaid. Republican Senator Kathleen Pasadomo of Naples joins us now for a closer look at a legislative effort she'll continue to champion that would create a new pilot program aimed at better addressing the needs of NAS babies and their families. Senator Pasadomo, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. It's always good to have you on.
Great to be here. Thank you.
To ask a question or make a comment, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. First, I want to ask you, can you break down for us exactly how this proposed neonatal abstinence syndrome pilot program is designed to function?
What it would do, it would create a step-down program so that babies who have gone through the withdrawal in the neonatal intensive care unit would have a place to go. Right now, once the baby has gone through the medical withdrawal, oftentimes they have nowhere to go. You know, oftentimes their parents continue to be addicted. The foster care system really is not equipped to handle these babies, and so they end up staying in the hospital. The average cost could be upwards to $100,000 for these babies to remain in the hospital when they don't necessarily need to be there this whole time. So this was an idea that was brought to me by some local folks, an attorney from Naples who had retired and wanted to give back. And it was her concept of creating this step-down unit to create a home-like atmosphere so that when these babies are discharged, they could go to the facility, be in a house-like setting where they would have a full-time nurses and volunteers. They call them cuddlers that hold the babies because, as I think you indicated in the opening, they're suffering, they're in pain, and this would also provide the ability for the parents to come to the facility while they're getting treatment for their addiction to spend time with the baby without the baby being in any way jeopardized or, and unfortunately they have nowhere else to go. So that's the pilot program. It's been done through hospital settings before, but never in a home-like setting away from the hospital. Which, you know, when you think about it, a hospital is probably the most expensive real estate in the world.
It is.
And the babies don't necessarily need to be in a hospital. They need to have the ability to go to a hospital if they suffer from some other symptom. But I think my understanding is being in a home-like setting would be better for them in a nurturing sense in the life.
So these are babies that they've gone through the withdrawal. They're medically stable for the most part. Maybe have some additional needs, so that removes that vulnerability of a newborn going to a step-down facility that outside of a hospital.
Exactly, and obviously we'd have this whatever program ends up being, it would have to be in conjunction with the hospital because, you know, they have got these babies so far along, and obviously we don't want them to regress at all. But, you know, we really don't have a place for them. It's very hard. These babies do need full-time attention.
So would this be something that would be a brick-and-mortar that is built or a place that would be near a hospital that would come in and be like a home-like kind of a living room atmosphere?
I think that's the plan. Somewhere close enough. It doesn't have to be right on the hospital grounds. But you want to have it in the quiet, because these babies need quiet. You need a quiet setting, not the hustle bustle of a hospital. You know, I envision a house or something along that line.
So talking about cost, I mean, if your proposal involves creating this whole new facility to treat these newborns, one might initially come to the conclusion it's going to cost money. But you've said that treating these babies and their families through a program like this could actually end up saving money. How is that?
Well, absolutely. First of all, again, the hospital costs are very high just because it's a hospital and they have so many different regulations with regard to the facility itself. Secondly, and most importantly, this program does not include state funding, because the people that brought this to me were assured that they could go out and raise the funds for these babies, because there are a lot of people in Southwest Florida, I know, and all over the state, that want to give these babies a chance at life. And so just by virtue of being in a private nonprofit facility, it would be less expensive. Also, you know, obviously Medicaid would come into play for the services, the wraparound services that are provided to these babies, and also some of the programs that we have through Healthy Start and our managed care program for children.
So did the bill that you introduced in this year's annual legislative session, did that have a dollar amount attached to it at all?
No, it did not. The only dollar figure was just an administrative funding for Agency for Healthcare Administration to create the program, but it was funding that had come from trust funds that are set aside for those purposes for the agency. Over time, of course, you know, if this becomes more than just a pilot program where it goes throughout the state, I'm not sure how that would interplay with the agency. What happened with the bill, it passed in the Senate unanimously, but it never made it, it didn't even get a hearing in the House.
Did you hear anything from anybody in the House as to why that is?
Yeah, they felt, when we originally started the bill, we were setting up a separate licensing feature, because you wanted to make sure whatever facility that would operate as this kind of step down program would have proper credentials, and so we put in the licensing because we wanted to make sure that they would be operating correctly. Well, the House didn't like the idea of a separate licensing, and of course it took them forever for them to tell me that. And then I went ahead and talked to my colleagues, and we were trying to find a way to put it under a current licensing structure. And I think that's where we're going to go next year. And I'm okay with, you know, to do it right and get a House partner that agrees, you know, we will get it right, and we're going to work on it this summer so that we can come back next year. And I do want to mention one thing about this bill and this concept that is so important, is that we had put in a provision that not only would we have this program, but we would study the effects of opioid addiction on babies and follow them as they grow. One of the biggest problems we have is we do not know what the effects long-term are going to be on these children, whether they're going to have neurological, physical effects. One of the most startling things that I heard, and I believe there's truth to it, is that Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland shooter's mother, was drug addicted. So it is conceivable he was born opioid addicted or had some affliction. We don't know what that does to your brain, and we've got to study these because we've got to help these kids early on.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So you anticipate this coming back with the licensing thing hammered out and get that going through session next year? You're looking forward to that?
Absolutely. I'm going to work very hard to get that done for both reasons, both because these little babies need a chance at life, And secondly, we need to understand the effects that a parent takes, what the effects on their fetus are going to be.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest, Republican State Senator Kathleen Pasadoma. She represents Florida's Senate District 28, which includes Collier and Hendry counties and a portion of Lee County as well. Thank you so much for talking with us today about this bill.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time. Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnairy, Rachel Iacovone, and Julie Glenn, John Davis. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.